The owner of the New England Patriots, Robert Kraft. Sorry about the phone problem there, Robert. When things like this happen, we always blame it on Chacha Nigge.
Just doing your sponsors a great favor and picking up incremental listeners to all those great ads.
We try to bring as many people in the tent as we possibly can. Hey, Robert, I know the coach takes a very narrow view of the season. You know, like 2 minutes after you beat the Jets, he's on to Dallas, and Dallas, then he's on to the bye week. Can the owner afford that narrow view, or do you have to look at this whole season in a bigger, broader-based perspective?
Well, at this stage of where I'm at in my life, I try to enjoy good people, good situations. You know, after my family, there's nothing more important to me than the New England Patriots team, and winning is what we're about. So when we win, I do savor it. We're not on this planet forever, and we got to make sure we enjoy the special people around us and the special events that happen in our life and savor them. So it's Bill's job to do that, and his philosophy works pretty well. But, you know, I'm pretty proud that since we bought this team, and I remember, you know, my sweetheart thought I was nuts. You know, we had the worst one-loss record in the previous 5 years, and now this is our 18th season, if you can believe it. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty proud that we have the best one-loss record in the NFL. So we're going to continue to enjoy it. Hopefully it continues this year.
Hey, did you know the information off the top of your head that Stacy provided for us when we said when was the last local blackout of a Patriot game? Would you know that date, that year, Robert?
Well, I remember... I would have thought it was 93.
It's right, December 93. The streak's 17 years, 186 consecutive games, Stacy says.
Yeah.
Who gets the credit for that?
Look, pardon?
Who gets the credit for that in your mind? I know you share it.
The fans are, you know, I think when they saw someone who was local, who cared about the team, who sat in the stands, you know, I go back to the 80s when even though the games, I used to go with my four boys to the games, but I remember how horrible that was when we had those strikes in the 80s, and I would be going nuts on the weekends. And, you know, I'm just really grateful that, and, you know, I don't think young people who were born in the early 90s, really, you know, they have a whole different view of this franchise that I or my sons have. But that's part of the fun of it. And you know, football is just great, and it really represents life in so many ways. And you know, putting team first and relying on the people next to you. You got to make sure you pick good people, or good things aren't going to happen. And it's I'm really happy that we've been able to help the franchise evolve into what it is.
Hey, Robert, given the labor dispute that everybody suffered through and worked through in the offseason, the abbreviated camps, the compressed business days, the shortened preseason, all of that, what has surprised you about how the product has come out of the other end of that tunnel, and what has gone exactly as you hoped or thought it would, even in the midst of all that labor dispute?
Well, to be fair, and this is one of the things, I actually was talking with the commissioner about this because of all the new rules in terms of, you know, how we prepare for the season in the future. And we've done an analysis that shows that there probably are incremental amount of injuries that relate to not preparing well for the season. But thank goodness they're not serious things. They're hamstring pulls and minor injuries that with good off-season training and that probably wouldn't have happened. So, you know, we had to go through a difficult, complicated negotiation, but really happy that we've got our business in a good form for the next decade.
This is probably a sensitive question to ask, but would it be accurate to call that day when labor peace was finally achieved, the day where you know Jeff Saturday so famously hugged you and gave you credit, would be classified as one of the best days of your life, but yet one of the worst days of your life?
Yeah.
Understood. What would you say the state of the Patriots is now? The president stands up in January in front of...
You know, I just the state of the Patriots is pretty good. You know, we looked at, think about us. I mean, I think of that last game or the last, you know, I'm still thinking about that Buffalo game because it's a game I feel we should have won. But you look at the Dallas game and you think how good they are. And how we won that game at the end, and you know the team coming together and Tommy leading a great drive. But the bottom line is that here we're going into the bye, and we're 5-1. And you know it's the eighth time in franchise history, you know, in our 52 years that we're 5-1. And I think having this extra week off at this time. Is a good thing. It allows some of our guys that are banged up to get it together. We have four new people eligible to play for the team. I know everyone's excited to see Kevin Falk come back. And I think we're positioned well, but, you know, there's acts of God that happen along the way. And, you know, our game, because of injuries, you can never truly predict what's going to happen. But being 5-1 at this point of the season, and also, I think the best part of the last game is that we did come from behind and we did what we had to do, which is what we did for many years. And I think a lot of people had questioned whether that was still there, but I think this last victory in the form they did it gave the team a great deal of confidence and you know, it's very important when a team goes out in the field that no matter what happens, bad things happen, you know, you get behind, that they always believe they can come back. And I sense that feeling might have been a little ambivalent for a while, but after this last game and going into the bye, I think there's a great deal of confidence, which, you know, that's encouraging. Now we'll see what happens.
Is there any chance that during the bye week we get an announcement about a contract extension for Wes Welker? I'm assuming, Bob, that you never want to see 83 in another uniform.
Well, he's, first of all, any guy who plays on our team that I can look him face to face, his eyes are at my level or maybe a tad lower, is pretty exciting. He's just a special guy. He's a phenomenon, and, you know, it's our hope that he will be someone who will be with us for the rest of his career. We're a team that's not about trying to encourage and sign people who want the last dollar, and if money is the most important thing, then, you know, we'll have trouble getting a deal done. And I just want to say this, whether it's Wes Welker, Tom Brady, Logan Mankins, or any player, when we decide what our limit is of what we can afford to pay a player, it's not like whatever we don't pay to that player, the Kraft family are putting in their pockets. It's about trying to build a team and have certain disciplines and know that you need a team of 53 players, you know, on your roster. And so when whatever money we don't give to Wes Welker is going to go to other players to build a team. But he is pretty special, and, you know, he comes from a great family. He personally, I mean, we couldn't ask for a better guy. And what his performance, what he did last year coming back from the injury and now doing what he's doing, you know, his performance this year is great.
Robert, when you and we watched the struggles the Red Sox have gone through in September and now continuing from a public relations standpoint in October, is there any kind of way to know how to handle those situations if you're an ownership? I'm pretty sure there's not a handbook on turmoil and controversy as an owner. What would you say about that? Do you have any rules and regulations to live by when it hits the fan?
First of all, you know, I just think you look at the Red Sox thing. They've done a pretty good job over the last period, and this business brings its special moments and challenges. You know, go back to our Super Bowl in 96, where we had a coach who was under contract, and the rumor was he had accepted a job in another place.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to play one of the biggest games, and we have people in the media who are supportive of him, and I'm sort of a rookie owner and still and learning the ropes. And, you know, there are challenges all the time in this business. And, you know, you just, I don't think, although Harvard Business School can train you well for a lot of things, you don't learn this. It's not straight line, and you have to learn how to adjust and do what you need to do to put your team in the best position long term.
Well, John Henry famously said there's a shelf life to the GM job and the coaching job, managing job for the Red Sox. Is there a shelf life to your coach's job, and how much longer do you think Bill Belichick will do this, Bob?
Well, we're privileged to have a coach who's pretty good, and I'd like to try to help him have as long a shelf life as he can have. So much of it, being NFL head coach is a grueling job for 6 months of the year, and you need someone who understands, you know, what's involved. And it's hard for the general public. The hours they put in, I'll speak to him at 11 o'clock at night, and he'll leave me a voicemail at 5:45 in the morning when he's, you know, just about at the stadium. And it's a different thing. Now, you know, having stability in this business, when you've had a certain modicum of success, it's hard to maintain because there are a lot of forces pulling it apart. And, you know, I think it's ownership's responsibility to try to do the best they can to solve it. And, you know, I think Bill loves coaching, and we love having him here. And you know, we're trying to always facilitate to keep his shelf life energetic, fresh, and hungry.
Robert, I think I heard or I think I read where you said getting to the top in this business is a lot easier. I don't think it's a lot easier. Is easier than staying at the top. You want to expand on that a little bit?
Yeah, I think the way I say it, success is a lot easier to attain than to be able to sustain.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are so many forces when you're privileged to win. A lot of things happen internally, you know. I think certain players feel that without them, you never would have won. Certain coaches, certain people in the front office, certain owners, you know. And it's great, and it's great when you win, but it's good for everyone to exercise a little humility and understand that it really is a team effort, and a lot of things, you know, a lot of things coming together. You know, you look at our season in 08 when we had won 18 games, and you know, we thought we had something special, and we came so close, and then there were just forces at work that didn't allow us to win and have that perfect season. And believe me, it was a great shot against all of us. And, you know, just a few things changing, a little things changing, the egos and reputations and what have you of everyone would have been a lot different. But, you know, there's acts of God and there's chemistry between people and then just the bounce of the ball. I mean, think of that last few minutes, you know, Asante holds the ball or, you know,
they sack Eli.
Kyrie never made that catch.
Right.
Eli, they call Eli down. Yeah, anyhow, you know. So I've learned that you got to just have a steady course, excuse me, and stay in a, that middle zone and not get too high or too low. Although I'll tell you, losing still is a lot worse feeling than winning. So we want to do everything we can to put ourselves in the best position to avoid losing.
Hey, Robert, I want to finish with kind of a league-wide question. And I'm wondering, does the National Football League and its owners in general, and maybe the commissioner specifically, anticipate dealing with skepticism from people who are watching losing teams continue to lose games and go 0-6, 0-8, 0-16, and worry about whether they're trying to lose or allowing it to happen just so they can get Andrew Luck? Is that something that has been or do you anticipate will be discussed between the commissioner and the owners and the teams?
Yeah, I think, excuse me, this is an issue that, you know, has been brought up many years. I think that's a very poor philosophy. First of all, I mean, Andrew Luck, you know, I know his dad. He worked, he ran NFL Europe, he played in the NFL, he's the AD down at West Virginia, he's a good man, and so, you know, that the young man, comes from good football gene pool, but no one knows, I mean, you no one knows what's gonna happen, and to develop a culture that allows that to happen in your locker room, you know, that,
not healthy.
Yeah, it, you know, I think if if it's the last game of the season, you might decide to take chances to learn about some of your players and for the future. But that would be a, we would never do that. That would be a very poor philosophy because you just never know. And so no, I wouldn't like to be one of those three franchises today, and I'm pretty proud of our football organization when you think back to the season where Tommy went down in the first 15 minutes and then how, you know, we were able to go 11-5. It's a great credit to our football people and our coaching staff.
Hey, just out of curiosity, Robert, because I know you have to go, what does the owner of the New England Patriots do on a Sunday where his team isn't playing football in the fall?
Well, I have about four different options, and still trying to decide. But probably in the end, I'll hang around here and watch games, and maybe go to a college game and be with my kids and grandkids.
Good catching up with you, Robert. Thanks for the time this morning. Good luck going forward in the rest of the season.
Nice to speak with you both. Be well.